Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. In today's technology-immersed world, well, how much technology is too much for a growing child? Outside of the computers and tablets they use at school, much of a typical kid's social or entertainment time these days might be of the electronic variety.
According to Common Sense Media, children 8 to 12 log 4.5 hours of screen time a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. And for teens, it's nearly 7 hours a day. In 1999, screen time of any kind was discouraged for kids under 2 years of age, but just last month, the American Academy of Pediatrics relaxed those guidelines a bit to 18 months and younger. But how do you tell when technology begins to negatively impact a kid's life?
Writer Melissa Westendorf investigates that issue and, along with co-author Lisa Stroman, offers strategies to better navigate your family's relationship with technology. Their book is called Unplug, Raising Kids in a Technology-Addicted World, and Westendorf, a Milwaukee-area psychologist, told Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski what inspired her interest in the topic.
I'm a forensic psychologist, at least that's part of what I do, and unfortunately, I had too many clients who were either older adolescent males or young adult males, for the most part, who had become addicted to whatever their technology was, and it had gotten them into some legal trouble. So a lot of these kids were, you know, normal kids that didn't get in trouble with the law. They were engaged. They, you know, just what you would consider, you know, a normal adolescence, except for this one piece of their life. And it had led them down a variety of paths that unfortunately landed them in some legal trouble. And it was all sorts of legal trouble. Some of it was trouble that you would never imagine they would get into, like extorting somebody through the internet. Some of it was being involved in inappropriate pictures or sending inappropriate pictures. And unfortunately, I still get these clients. I just had one yesterday who now is facing felony charges based on sending inappropriate pictures to somebody underage.
And how does technology use, or rather overuse in this case, affect children? What are the most common things that are affected in a child's development from, you know, 5 years old to teenagers?
Sure. So there's a lot of different areas where it affects kids. And this actually crosses all age groups. But what we see is we've seen a lot of depression with suicidal ideation due to lack of sleep. Kids tend to stay on it too long. They think they're ER doctors and they need to respond to texts at 2 a.m. in the morning. So they're not getting sleep. When kids don't get good sleep, they can become depressed over time because our bodies, especially children, need a certain amount of sleep. And so that can lead to depression, and it's the cycle that they get into. So we've worked with kids who are depressed. We've worked with kids who have eating problems. It can be either too little eating because they're so engrossed they forget to eat. And then we also have kids who, because they are so addicted, they won't go to eat a healthy meal. They eat soda and chips. And so we have kids that we work with that have overweight problems. And that can lead also to some emotional problems, of course. We deal with kids who are bullied over social media. With younger kids, what we've seen are overactive, hyperactivity. You can see some aggression. Some of it's related to sleep, but some of it is also related to the constant stimulation that video games and the internet and whatever they're looking up can cause.
Do you think this is a contribution of the fact that parents probably today raised in a more traditional household would say that kids just don't know how to play on their own today? They need to be engaged?
That's hard to tease apart. Is it because the video games came and now they don't know how to play on their own, or vice versa? The internet and video games aren't completely bad. I mean, we don't say, you know, you cannot never do that, because of course, you know, they're fun and there's actually educational games. There's a lot of benefit out of it. But what we really teach is a balance in between this healthy lifestyle where you're going outside. You know, it's really important for kids to be outside, to look at the horizon for their eye development. So one of the effects that we are seeing is that kids need glasses sooner because they're constantly looking at something a foot or less away from them. And they need the horizon to develop those muscles. You know, we just want everybody to have a balance of what they're doing.
Well, and how should parents take a look at their child or children and kind of assess, you know, are they, quote, a normal kid with a good balance of having technology either in their personal time, in the classroom, at school? And crossing that line to when they become a technology addict, your book states a technology use continuum test. So what is this comprised of? What goals and markers do you point out to parents that this may indicate that there's an unhealthy balance here?
Sure. So what we have found in our practice is that there's four main areas that we've seen the manifestation of some of these technology overuse. And so you can have interpersonal problems, you can have behavioral problems, you can have physical problems, and some emotional problems. Some real big key markers would be, if you take away technology, what is the reaction you get? All kids want it, and all kids will beg to have it, and we get that. But when you take it away, what do they do? Do they throw a huge tantrum? I think you've seen videos, probably on the internet, of kids that destroy their room. That's a really big indicator that they're addicted to it, right? But you might see it in younger kids in a little different way. But again, this tantruming behavior. Do you see their emotions, you know, they become withdrawn or depressed when they don't have it? And then the minute they have it, they're much more engaged. So we're thinking of the reward system that the technology can create, that everybody has in their brain. Is that getting overstimulated? Again, the sleep that I talked about, you know, are their grades starting to drop? And there's no other reasons why that's happening. I mean, there's the age of adolescence, there's a lot of changes. And so a lot of the things we talk about can be due to other things, but when you have the constellation of symptoms, that's why when we created the technology use continuum, it has questions in each of those areas, and if you hit on a couple of these different areas or on all of the areas, then that indicates, hey, maybe I need to put this in check. And then in the book, we give certain interventions in each of those different areas.
And what guidelines does this book offer to approach these steps if they are leaning towards the unhealthy? What kind of changes do you suggest parents to make to get their kid to a better mental state and better relationship with technology?
You know, so it depends on the area. Certainly, like let's say in the interpersonal area, if you start to see that your child has more online friends than offline friends, if you see that they're no longer hanging out with the kids that they used to hang out with, and I understand that friendships change, but that they used to have a lot of friends, and now nobody seems to come around the house, or they don't want to go anywhere, or if you see that they used to be interested in, say, Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or basketball, and now they're starting to withdraw, then it's incumbent upon the parents to go in, get them out of the bedroom, ensure that they have like a family night. And we also have Tech Free Tuesday where everybody in the house, parents included, at a certain point, say dinner time, no more technology, trying to re-engage your child, not to just say, well, they'll figure it out as an adolescent. You need to help them along. And so that's one of the pieces of advice, which is common sense, but it really can slip away from us because we're all so busy, is to help your child do that. Also enforcing bringing them down for dinner time, being sure that at least a couple nights a week that you're all sitting together without your technology and having dinner. The other thing that we do encourage, too, is that parents engage through technology with their children, whether it's texting, just to say that, you know what, I understand this is important and we can communicate this way. We'll communicate in person, but we can also communicate that way. And so in terms of interpersonal, that would be one of the suggestions.
Well, and I like that you point out the parents' role, because whether adults nowadays have children or not, we could argue that we are getting ever more addicted to technology. So do you find with the parents that have given you feedback or that you work with that they realize how difficult it is to disengage themselves in order to set that example for their children?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a struggle for all of us. Me, you know, it's a struggle. You have to make a conscious decision that, all right, I'm going to put this down. I'm not going to use it. I'm going to, even if it's cleaning, I'm going to engage with the kids, or I'm going, you know, whatever I'm going to do. You have to make a conscious effort to do that. And absolutely, as parents, we feel busier, at least, than what parents used to feel. Our work life is now trickling into our home, and so it's taking away sort of that sacred space that we've always had where people are checking their emails or, you know, having to get on the internet to do their work. And so really, when we work with parents and families, it's a system that we're helping, not just one child.
You mentioned earlier that a good warning sign is if children have more online friends compared to the people they see face-to-face every day. And the book states that despite how many friends, you know, the child may have on Facebook, that research confirms children today are more anxious, isolated, and lonely than any previous generation. And this is probably an overwhelming thing to read for parents. With a statement like that, how do you think parents can kind of take control and maybe take some small steps to make them feel a little more reassured and to make their child feel reassured and to reestablish the more important interpersonal connections?
Yeah, you know, probably one of the biggest things is for there to be really an open dialogue about everything that can happen on the internet. You know, we don't want to think about predators that are on the internet that can lure kids. We don't want to think that our kid is doing some bullying. You know, we have to admit that we can have our own children can engage in those activities. And so it's really about trying to maintain this open communication and dialogue between kids and parents. And so it's really important to start that. The earlier you can start it, the better. You know, you don't want to scare your children, but you have frank discussions about what can occur on the internet. You have frank discussions about bullying and what that means. I think, you know, bullying has grown because it's so easy to do on the internet and online. You know, we encourage people or parents to tell their kids, you know, listen, blame me that you don't get your phone after 6 o'clock at night. You know, because we've really, this was what was really interesting is when we started talking with kids, they felt a relief when the phone was taken away, even though they so wanted the phone and they so wanted to engage with their friends online. When the parents took it away, it was like, you know what, this really, I'm so happy they did this because I feel so much better. For whatever reason, you know, we feel a sense that we're missing out on something when we see other people doing things and they're posting it on social media. I feel that way. You feel that way. Everybody can feel that way. And so for kids, it's just magnified. So if you continue to talk with your kids and you demonstrate good behavior yourself and not engage in social media all the time, or, you know, it's really just striking a balance. I mean, I can't stress how important it is to strike a balance. And I think parents need to do that as well, because that provides as a good role model for the kids. And if you're in tune, then you can you might be able to detect when your child is starting to become more anxious or when they're starting to become more depressed. You know, we have an intuition about our kids when something's going wrong, and it's about encouraging your child to, that they can talk with you about those things, because there's so many things that can go on in a kid's life that it's difficult to determine it, but an open dialogue certainly helps.
Well, these are really important and pertinent issues as technology is ever more present in our lives. So,
right.
Melissa, I'd like to thank you for coming in today to speak about it a little bit.
Thank you very much for having me.
Melissa Westendorf is a Milwaukee area forensic psychologist and the co-author of Unplug, Raising Kids in a Technology-Addicted World. She spoke with Audrey Nowakowski, and there is more information about it at WUWM.com.